Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this one properly surprised me. We are seeing policy enforcement move from after-the-fact review to real-time guardrails, and the implications are, well, they're bigger than they first appear. A developer published a working implementation this week of what production AI governance actually looks like, an MCP server that sits between the developer and Claude, enforcing your company's tech policy in real time. The insight is straightforward, but it changes the game. Instead of hoping your system prompt is enough, you deliver your company's actual decision records, approved libraries, security rules, all of it directly into the model's context at the moment it is generating code. The model does not guess what you prefer, it knows. If a developer asks it to use a deprecated library, it explains why that's forbidden and suggests the approved alternative, right there, in the flow of work. Now here's why this matters. The previous era of DevSecOps, where you catch bad decisions at pull request time, is too slow now. When an AI can generate 100 lines of code in seconds, finding the mistakes after they are written means developers are already working with the code. Tests are already written against it. Reversing course costs time. The MCP guardrail prevents the mistake from happening in the first place. It is not perfect enforcement. The model can still be pushed to ignore it. But in practice, when the rule is right there in context with a clear explanation, compliance rates jump from 60 to 70% up to 90% plus. Think about that for a second. You are not adding more review steps. You are embedding the review directly into the generation process. The takeaway: policy enforcement is moving upstream, way upstream. If your company has a tech radar or security guidelines or architectural decision records, and you are not surfacing them at code generation time, you are fighting yesterday's battle. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? This next one is for anyone building AI features into mobile apps, because if you are doing that, you need to hear this. There is a full production handbook out now covering everything from Firebase app check security to streaming responses to rate limiting. But the bit that really stood out to me is the App Store compliance section. Google Play now requires a user feedback mechanism for AI features. Apple requires explicit disclosure of AI data usage under Guideline 5.1.2i. These are not recommendations, these are approval requirements. If you do not have them, your app does not ship. The handbook walks through how to implement safety filtering so your app is not generating content that gets flagged. How to handle streaming responses without burning through quota. How to structure rate limiting so users do not hit your backend like it is a stress test. But the big thing, the thing that will save you a week of back and forth with app review, is knowing those compliance requirements up front. Bottom line, if you are adding AI to a mobile app, compliance is not the last step. It is part of the architecture from day one. Have a think about what that means for your roadmap, because finding out about these requirements after you have built the feature is not ideal. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. There is a startup testing something properly interesting: simultaneous input-output processing in LLMs. Bidirectional conversation like a phone call, not turn-based text exchanges. Thinking Machines is the company. And what they are building is a model that can listen and talk at the same time, like you do, like I do. Like every human conversation works, but no LLM currently does. Right now, every AI chat is turn-based. You talk, it listens, it processes, it responds. You talk again. It is a tennis match, not a conversation. What they are testing is whether a model can course-correct mid-response. You interrupt it, it adapts. You clarify something while it is still talking, and it adjusts what it was about to say based on your input. This is early, very early. But if it works, it changes the texture of human-AI interaction completely. Imagine debugging with an AI pair programmer, and you do not have to wait for it to finish its response before you say, no, not that, the other function. It just pivots, mid-sentence, or customer support calls where the agent is not just reading a script but actively listening and adapting as the customer talks. The takeaway: we have been building AI interactions around the limitations of turn-taking because that is what the tech could do. If that constraint goes away, a lot of UX patterns need rethinking. Something to keep an eye on. Because once this works, it will not feel like a feature. It will just feel like how AI should have worked all along. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Researchers at Columbia University observed coherent ferons for the first time. Polarization waves with potential applications across quantum systems and telecommunications, published in Nature Materials. So this is not speculative. This is observed, measured, reproducible. Ferons are collective excitations in ferroelectric materials. Think of them like ripples across a pond, except the pond is made of atoms whose electric charges are all pointing the same direction, and when one tilts, the tilt propagates as a wave. What makes this interesting is that these waves are coherent, meaning they hold their shape. meaning you can use them to carry information. The applications span quantum computing, where coherent control of states is everything, and telecommunications, where anything that carries a signal efficiently matters. Now, I am not going to pretend I fully understand the physics here, but the pattern is clear. Discover a new coherent phenomenon at the material level, and suddenly you have a new toolbox for building systems that rely on precise control of states. The big picture today? Materials research keeps unlocking capabilities that feel abstract until someone builds something with them, and then they are not abstract anymore. They are infrastructure. Worth watching. Okay, so this next one is about search, but not the kind you are thinking of. Stack Overflow interviewed Neo4j's CTO about GraphRAG. That is combining vector search with knowledge graphs. And the insight is this: vectors alone give you similarity. Graphs give you relationships. Put them together and you get context that does not rot. The problem with pure vector search is that it finds documents that are semantically close to your query, but it does not understand how those documents connect to each other, or what depends on what, or what contradicts what. GraphRAG fixes that by overlaying a knowledge graph. Now, the AI agent does not just retrieve documents, it traverses relationships. It knows that document A references document B, which supersedes document C, which is cited by document D. The result? Accuracy goes up, context stays fresh. The agent is not just pulling from stale training data, it is working with structured, connected context that reflects how information actually relates. AWS published a guide this week on building research agents using this approach: EXA for semantic search, Strands SDK for the agent framework, real-time web grounding across news, papers, code repositories. The takeaway: if you are building agents that need to answer questions accurately, you need more than embeddings. You need structure, you need relationships, you need a graph. Ask yourself, are your agents pulling from a pile of documents or from a map of how those documents connect? Because that is the difference between a chatbot and a research assistant. Last one. And this one is, honestly, it hit me. A senior developer wrote a piece called Senior Developer, Still Lost, about imposter syndrome resurfacing after a decade in the field. Not because they do not know how to code, because AI-assisted code generation feels both empowering and disorienting. They can build faster than ever, but the code does not feel like theirs. The ownership is blurred, the learning is different, and the question they keep coming back to is, what does mastery even mean now? I think about this a lot, because the tools are incredible, but they are changing what it means to learn, what it means to own your work, what it means to feel competent. And if a senior developer with a decade of experience is feeling this, imagine what it is like for someone just starting out. The thing is, this is not going away. The tools are getting better, the assistance is getting deeper, and we are all going to have to figure out what learning and ownership look like. The code writes itself, and you are the one steering it. No answers here, just something worth sitting with. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Policy enforcement is moving upstream. App store compliance is not optional. Conversations might stop being turn-based. Material science keeps unlocking new capabilities. Knowledge graphs are the missing piece for accurate AI. And the definition of mastery is shifting under our feet. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.